The Boston Celtics get Marcus Smart back, Al Horford back, and their groove back with a blowout win over the Miami Heat in Game 2. I'm going to talk about it. Let's celebrate right now on the Locked On Celtics podcast.
Be ever ready. Recognize the city of champs. Boston, baby, we do what you can't. Locked on number 18, Tatum and Brown, J-team, step back. We gon' wet that and slay teams. Of course, the Celtics, who else could it be? Screaming like KG with the Larry O.B. Corrales above average, assessing the team status. Best daily pod, no cap, salary matching. Clutch like Bird to DJ, keep John on replay. Prime time, dapping up the truth on the sideline. Raining J's, how I started, raising banners, how we finished. Locked on Celtics, pod, home of the winners, B.
Hey there, welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast. Thank you for making this show part of your daily routine and your first listen every day. Show is free for you Monday through Friday and bonus podcasts whenever the Celtics play during the playoffs. So Saturday night game, no problem. I'll be there post-game for you as well from the TD Garden. But today I am here at the FTX Arena, which you can see behind me. I have climbed to a great perch up here. This is where the ESPN broadcast was doing their halftime show or something, but I'm kind of like posted up here. This is really nice with that court behind me. Even though I'm a little dark, you don't need to see my face. That's fine. Seeing my face is, I don't even know how the YouTube page has gotten this popular, but I'm John Corrales. I cover the Celtics for Boston Sports Journal. I've written a book called Boston Celtics All-Time All-Stars. I was one of the media voters for the 75th anniversary Celtics team. Celtics blow the doors off of the Miami Heat, 127-102. Later on, I'll talk about the defense, and then I'll get into some of the individual stuff. But let's just get into this right off the bat. The Celtics started off slow, and I think this is kind of going to get lost a little bit as we get through the whole celebration of Game 2 and the Celtics being back and all that. The Celtics were down 18-8 in this game and not looking great. They were defensively, they were making mistakes. They were still doing some of the things that they had been doing wrong earlier. They were still a little too low in the drop, which I talked about with Tom Westerholm in yesterday's podcast. They were still dropping a little too far, and they were still, you know, playing just not quite sharp. Ime calls a timeout, kind of resets everybody. And then after they're down 18-8, they had a couple of shots. Jason Tatum gets his second foul. And the Celtics have done this before. In fact, this game is kind of like a repeat of the Milwaukee series where Jason Tatum gets into foul trouble. And the Celtics, instead of folding, instead of letting things kind of get out of control, we saw this, what was it, game six, game seven of the Bucks series where the Celtics kind of, it was the third quarter, and they just kind of held Milwaukee off until Tatum could come back and close the door. But in this game, Tatum goes and sits on the bench. The Heat were still kind of, you know, they were feeling themselves a little bit. They were hitting a bunch of shots. It's not like they were just flat out missing, even though they missed. They were 10 of 34 from three. But early on, it seemed like they were making plenty of shots. The Celtics go on a run. After it was 18-8, they finish the quarter 35-24. So they put up, what's that, 27-6 was the run. They were up 35-24 after one. Just six straight three-pointers and a couple of free throws in there. That's one of the turning points in the game. Early on, you've got the Celtics maybe not looking great, and all of a sudden, three-pointer falls. Grant Williams checks in. They go five out, and it's Jaylen Brown. It's Grant. It's just three-pointer after three-pointer after three-pointer. And you can see each one fall, and the kind of the Miami just starting to deflate a little bit. And the Celtics come out in the second quarter and do it again. 35 points in the second quarter, 35-21. And this time the defense, that was maybe their best defensive quarter. The Celtics put together a 70-45 first half, and they played literally even in the second half. 26 points apiece in the third quarter, 31 points apiece in the fourth quarter for a 25-point win. That's basically kind of how you want that to go. But that second quarter was just a dominant defensive quarter. And again, that offense flowing off of the turnovers. The Celtics had 20 points off of 15 Miami turnovers. They won that points off of turnover battle by 11. Big, big deal there. The first half, the difference in the game in the first half was literally the difference between the made three-pointers. The Celtics had an 18-point advantage there. And the difference between the made free throws, which the Celtics had a 7-point advantage there. So they were up 25 at the halftime because literally they made three-pointers and they made free throws. The shots were falling. Now, this is a make-miss league, right? This is the whole thing. And first of all, good for hitting your free throws, because the Celtics' free throws have been an issue. They finished 21 of 23 from the line, so that's good. Nice to see them starting to fall a little bit again. Tatum was perfect. He hit 7. Jalen hit 2. Marcus hit 3. Grant was 7 of 8. Grant was the only one who missed. Jawan Morgan missed as well. So the Celtics missed 2. Jawan Morgan missed one in garbage time, but I was trying to write my game story at that point. Once garbage time hits, I'm just like, okay, I'm typing. You guys figure it out. Figure out what the final score is. I'm trying to type. I'm trying to get on out of here. So that first half was enough. After the Celtics, and this is how I thought this series was going to go so far. If you read my preview on Boston Sports Journal, I said specifically, I thought game one was going to go to Miami because, I, by the way, I might be saying Milwaukee. I might be interchanging the two. I'm sorry if I've been doing that. I thought game one was going to go to Miami because that they were going to feel disrespected. They were going to feel like, hey, why is everybody just like anointing Boston? What are you doing? We're the number one seed. That they'd come out with a little bit of an edge. I said this yesterday. Not as much of an edge as I thought, but they still came out and they had that big third quarter, obviously. And then the national narrative was going to be like, oh, wait, don't write off the Heat just yet. And I wrote on Boston Sports Journal in my preview before game one, then Boston's going to come in and lay the hammer down in game two. I just knew that they were going to respond in game two in a big, big way. This was it. This is exactly the type of game I expected. They are not going to sit there and just, first of all, they don't lose two games in a row anymore. I mean, they might, but they will at some point. They have to, I think, but they don't anymore right now. They haven't in a game that Marcus Smart's played in forever. And they're just, so I knew that they were going to respond in that way. By the way, today's show is brought to you by BetOnline. BetOnline has you covered this season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline is where the game starts. So I knew the Celtics were going to respond because, first of all, they don't lose two in a row. Second of all, that's kind of what they do as far as they respond to adversity. And that's who this team is now. It may not feel like that's who this team is, but that's, if you still have like that PTSD from the beginning of the season, but we've got to get it through our heads. This is who this team is now. They respond to adversity. They were feeling the adversity. Now, I didn't think Smart and Horford were going to be out. I still don't know what the hell happened with Horford. He said after the game, I was feeling a little off. I felt like I should get tested. He got tested. He tested. Clearly, he tested positive. He never said he did, but clearly he did. And then they kept testing him, and he tested negative. I don't know what the hell happened. I don't know if it was a false positive. I don't know if it was a positive from like the last day and maybe he had it for a week and then this was the end. Whatever it is, he tested out. He had 2 negative tests before the game and it was allowed to play. So he tested out of protocols pretty quickly. Smart came back from the sprained midfoot. He looked fine. You could tell in the pregame he was moving fine. And that set the Celtics up for just a great start to this game, the great first half, and a great defensive first half. Defensively, a lot of the talk is going to be, wow, they shot 20 of 40 and they were 50% and they shot 51% from the field, and their true shooting percentage is going to be off the charts because they shot 91% from the line. They're just going to be it's going to be outrageous offensive numbers from the Celtics. And Marcus Smart had this great game, nearly get a triple double, and it's all offense, offense, offense. And usually when the Celtics are blowing teams out, it's offense, but defense was the big thing. And I'm gonna talk about the defense when I come back, because I think the defense was elite, and for the first time in a while, we got the band back together. So I'll talk about that in just a minute. First, let's talk about Built Bar and Built Puffs. Built has now brownie batter puffs. Okay, if you love brownies, who doesn't love brownies, right? Then you get brownie batter. And so we just did the birthday cake puffs, and now you got brownie batter puffs. Basically, the marshmallow that is covered in chocolate. If you could imagine licking the spatula clean off, when mom made the brownies, or when you, could be dad. It was always mom for me. Bill has this new creation that's better than ever. Brownie batter puff that takes protein bars to a whole new level, and they're available right now at built.com. 140 calories. Only 140 calories. 17 grams of protein and only 7 grams of sugar in a brownie batter puff. This is like candy. This is sweets. This is going to satisfy your sweet tooth without having to eat 250 calorie whatever and tons of sugar and all of that stuff. And they're covered in 100% chocolate. They're great. So you can maintain a healthy lifestyle and have the stuff that you want to have with Built. You can use it as a meal replacement. You can use it as something to help you when you come out of the gym to get the protein into your body. However you want to use it, go to built.com. Use the promo code LOCKED15, LOCKED, L-O-C-K-E-D, LOCKED15. It gets you 15% off your order, and it works every single time. So try one of these. Try something else. Maybe you go to built.com and you find something different that you like. Give it a shot. Every time you go back, you can use the promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off at built.com. Thanks for making Locked On Celtics your first listen every day. How about making Locked On NBA Big Board, NBA Draft Big Board, I should say, your second listen? Locked On NBA Draft Big Board is hosted by Rafael Barlow, who is on top of these prospects. You don't even realize how thorough he is, how good he is. You've got to listen to the podcast. If you're into the draft at all, if you have questions at all, scroll through the feed. They'll be answered. I guarantee you he's on top of everything. He's so good. He's so knowledgeable, one of the true assets of the network. So check out the NBA Draft Big Board wherever you get your podcasts. Celtics, in this one, held the Miami Heat to 21 points in the second quarter and 45 points in the first half overall. So this elite defense was back. And for the first time, because of injuries, we haven't had the luxury of seeing Smart at the point guard, Horford fully healthy, and Rob fully healthy, all together with the Jays on either side of them. It's been a long time since we've seen these guys at full strength. Rob had the meniscus surgery and came back during the Brooklyn series. Wasn't really himself fully yet to start the Bucks series. Then he gets the bone bruise. Smart misses a game in the Bucks series. Horford and Smart miss game one. We really haven't seen in the playoffs the whole group together at full capacity. Now, in this game, we saw it, and we saw what this elite defense could do. And really, you saw, let's start with Marcus Smart. Not just the steals, but the individual defense, the individual effort on Jimmy Butler. There was one possession. It ended, unfortunately, it ended with Bam Adebayo putting back an offensive rebound. The Celtics still giving up too many offensive rebounds, by the way. They gave up 12 in this one. They only had 8. So they gave up 12, and they gave up 12 second-chance points. Still too many, but if we want to nitpick. But the effort that Smart put in on that particular play, and it's tweeted out everywhere, the going under screens on Jimmy Butler, which you can do, because obviously if you want him to shoot a three-pointer, go ahead. Go ahead, Jimmy. You can do it. Remember after game one, he was like, I was 0 for 2, but I want to be 0 for 0 because I want to go, you know, whatever. I want to run into people in the paint. Well, he was 1 for 3, so he still took three-pointers. Three three-pointers. So if he went in saying, I wanted to be 0 for 0, and then he still said, well, there's these three three-pointers that I just got to take, then that's a win for the Celtics defense because they were able to bait him into taking shots the Celtics want him to take. He was 11 of 18, and he had a great run in the third quarter to cut the lead to 17. That's where Marcus Smart strikes again. And the play of the game, the absolute play of the game, Jimmy is going off in the third quarter, just doing a Jimmy Butler thing, right? Playing great. And Smart comes in. Jimmy Butler gets the ball to Bam Adebayo. Smart strips Adebayo. It goes down as a block shot because, as I've said before in the podcast, when a guy catches it and he's going up and the ball's even at his waist, they consider that going up for the shot. So when you slap down, that becomes a block shot. So Marcus Smart had three steals and one block shot, but really it was four steals. And that one on Bam, he ends up going the other way. And then he drops Max Strus with a poor Max Strus. And this wasn't like a fake one. This wasn't a push off. This wasn't a, oh, he tripped on my foot or stepped on his foot. This was a legit Max Strus just got dropped by the dribble move. And Smart said, oh, okay. Stepped into a nice rhythm, free throw line jumper, and it went from 17 to 19. Miami calls a timeout, 2:24 left. And this, I tweeted this out. Jimmy Butler had been making his move, his run. And with about 2.5 minutes to go, this is like decision time. The Celtics had the lead up to 25. 17-point lead is still a big lead. But in today's NBA, with a couple minutes to go in the third, that was danger time. That play was so huge because it stopped that momentum. The Celtics needed a stop, so it flipped the momentum into at least it slowed Miami down. Again, clutch plays that don't happen in the fourth quarter. This Marcus Smart was the clutch play of the game. In a 25-point game, this was it right here. Smart gets the stop. They call the timeout, and then Boston comes out, and it's all part of a 12-2 run, I want to say, where the Celtics get it back up to 25, or 12-4 run to get it back up to 25. So basically Jimmy Butler worked his ass off to get nowhere, running uphill in sand, and that's exhausting. That was a huge play from Smart. And to me, that imagine this game where with everything that had happened in Butler coming out of that timeout, or if Marcus Smart doesn't make that play, let's say he doesn't make that play, Bam has it in the middle of the lane. It's a layup. It's a 15-point game. Then Ime's the one who calls the timeout. Now you have 2.5 minutes or so where if Miami has the momentum and they hit a three or hit something, if the lead is down below 15 heading into the fourth quarter, we've seen the Celtics blow 14-point lead in the fourth quarter in the playoffs. We've seen it. It's nothing. 15 points. You come out, you hit a couple of three-pointers, it's a six-point game, you know, or a nine-point game, I should say. You score 6 points, it's 9 points. It's a nine-point game. You're down below 10. So that play, forcing Miami to call a timeout, giving Boston the momentum, having everybody going, ooh, with the Strus dropping them. Like, even people in Miami are like, oh, no. It's like slow motion, like, no. It was fun. Huge, huge play. Robert Williams, three block shots. But more importantly with Rob, it's I saw him deter guys from even driving. You know, he blocked Caleb Martin, I think it was, on a corner three-pointer. Caleb thinks he gets the switch. He makes a little jab step, you know, jab step, step back. I got room. I'm just going to create myself a little space. I'm going to launch a three-pointer over this big oaf. Rob stays with him and he's got those pogo sticks for legs. Bing, block shot. And he kept it in bounds. Celtics kept it. So, Rob, once you see that, you start to, especially when he's in the right position, because he was a little too low early on. When he's in the right spot and he's able to defend and force a guy to be like, do I drive here? I feel like I can drive him. No, maybe I should shoot. And just that little indecisiveness of what do I do here with Rob? What can he get to this shot if I take it or not? At that point, you've won the battle because it's just not flowing for the other team. And it's all about the flow. For, you know, it's just catch, shoot, catch, make the pass, catch, dribble. It's that 0.5 that Ime wants to play, right? It's just quick decisions and go. And if or I say Ime wants to play, that's the best basketball. And if the other team's not doing it, if the other team's just kind of like indecisive, and Rob, just by being Rob and being on the floor and being in the right spot, does that, then that's a defensive win. And then Al Horford in there just doing Al Horford stuff, you know, being a solid dude. He was perfect from the floor, a steal, a block, three assists. Like having Rob, having Al, having Smart, such a big difference. And then you can mix it up because that's what the Celtics have done all year. You play some with Horford out there, you play some with Rob out there, you got Grant and he gives you a different dynamic, but you mix things up and the Celtics did a great job switching, not switching, fighting through things. I thought defensively we saw a Celtics team. We saw the dominant defensive Celtics team, the regular season best defensive team in the league. We saw them in this game, game two. Individual performances, there were a few. They were all good. They were all good. So I'll talk about that when I come back. First, I got to talk to you about BetOnline, the number one source for all your betting needs and sports information. You can find the latest odds, news, developments through the playoffs, through Major League Baseball, fights, even next season's NFL futures. I did not check what the odds are for Game 3. But you know what? While we're here, let me just check it out. I'm going to guess it's Boston by 5. Let me see if that line is out yet. Because that makes sense. It's been about right for the Celtics so far. But as I navigate BetOnline to get these, you can check out it's Boston by 6. So there you go. I was right. Close. BetOnline, your continued source for all your sports wagering information. Live betting. You could have bet on the second half of this game. You could have bet on the second quarter of this game. So check it out. Esports, you can bet on that too. Head on over to the website or use your mobile device. BetOnline is where the game starts. Please gamble responsibly. Thanks for making Locked On Celtics your first listen every day. How about making Locked On NBA your second listen? Locked On NBA. I host Locked On NBA on Wednesdays when the Celtics aren't playing on a Tuesday night, but I host on Wednesdays with Jake Madison. So add Locked On NBA to your list of podcasts. Add it to your rotation. It exists wherever you found this podcast. It's also on YouTube, so check it out. So this was a familiar formula. We saw the Celtics. Remember after the last game, I said game one against the Bucks was worse. Game two against the Bucks was a blowout. Game one here was not great. Game two, a blowout. Now let's see if the Celtics can learn some lessons and go home and just take care of home court. That's all I want now from the Celtics. I'm not asking too much. All I want is go home, protect your home floor, however you need to do it, and end this thing in six. It's exactly what I said from the beginning. It's exactly what I think is going to happen. Come out game three. In game three, unless something else happens, I think Derek White might play because Derek White missed the game for the birth of his son. Hendricks James White was born at some point here on May 19th, 2022. So happy literal birthday to Hendricks, the second Hendricks on this team. Robert Williams had a son, Hendricks, earlier this year. So popular name. People like the name Hendricks. Maybe it's Jimi Hendrix fans. I don't know. We'll figure it out. Maybe we'll ask. I'll ask. Why not? So if Derek's back, then that adds just one other element here, because if Derek White comes back, and now you have him that you can throw out there for Marcus Smart, you're adding just another defensive element. But it doesn't mean, look, Peyton Pritchard did fine in this game, and with the Miami Heat, with some of the matchups they can throw out there, you can play Peyton Pritchard. He was a game-high plus 39. How is that possible? Plus 39 for him, plus 37 for Grant Williams, who, like I said, was just huge in the beginning. He was just getting thrown around, man. That dude, bumps, bruises, he hit the deck hard, but he did a great job. 5 of 7, 2 of 2 from 3, 7 of 8 from the line. A 19-point game for him. Used up his fouls. I thought he did a generally good job off the bench. Tatum, I mean, you go down the list, Tatum was good. Everybody was good in this game. Tatum was good. 8 of 13, 27 points. Horford was good. He was perfect. Robert Williams was good. Offensively, not much, but the Celtics did miss him a couple of times. There are a couple of roles when he's down the middle, and the Celtics just miss him. And look, I'm not going to complain about it in a 25-point game, but you can't miss those because you got to be able to see them when it's a 5-point game. Like, that's something you just want to get in the habit of doing everything just right all the time. And I say get in the habit. Celtics are 3 wins away from the NBA Finals. You're out of time to get into habits, but you still want to, like, when you see a guy roll like Rob, just get him the ball. First of all, it's the right play. Second of all, rewards him for some of the other stuff that he's doing. The guy's busting his ass on the defensive end. Reward him with a couple of lobs. But again, not a big deal. It's not a big deal, but I just still want to see him. If he's down the middle and he's open, reward him. Jaylen Brown did a great job. You know, that first quarter, like I said before, Tatum goes out with the foul trouble and Jaylen comes in and Jaylen anchors things. He bookended that first quarter with 3-pointers. He had one bad stretch where I think it was the beginning of the third quarter. But other than that, he's still a very efficient night. 9 of 17, 4 of 7 from 3, 8 rebounds, 3 assists. So just one turnover. Celtics took care of the ball. I mean, that's the other thing. They took care of the ball. They had 9 turnovers in this game. Just 9. 3 for Tatum, 3 for Horford. 1 apiece for Rob, Jaylen, and Marcus Smart. The bench had 0 turnovers. Even in garbage time, no turnovers. They did a great job. They just did a great, if you're protecting the ball, what I say in yesterday's podcast. It was very simple, very simple. When we say don't panic, just fix a couple of things. Protect the ball. Don't turn it over. Just don't turn it over quite as much. Execute a little better in the half court. That's what they did. You can boil it down to that. You defended at your normal level, which is elite. They protected the ball. They only had 9 points off of, well, it was 10 turnovers, I guess, when you count like an offensive foul in there or something. One of them was a team turnover. Oh, that was the shot clock violation at the end of the game. Protect the ball. You only give up 9 points off of turnovers. When you score 20 points off of their turnovers, it's big. You execute in the half court. The one thing that I'm worried about in going into game 3, and I'll wrap it up with this, just don't come out of game 3 thinking, hey, man, we're the best shooting team in the world because we shot 50% from 3 in this game. Like, I think there's a tendency from the Celtics to say, hey, we shot awesome. Let's come out and just shoot early 3-pointers. Marcus Smart did that a little too much. The first quarter was not great for him, but he settled into the game afterwards, and the shots started to fall. I don't want the Celtics to say, hey, we're great, and come out in the first quarter of game three and fall behind by, you know, double digits again. You just don't want to do that, because I feel like Jimmy Butler is the type of guy that he's going to feed off of the road energy, right? Like, he's just – you don't want to tempt that kind of fate. You just don't. So what they did in this game is they generated a lot of their great looks, like 28 assists on 43 made baskets. 28 assists is a monster number. Again, 12 for Smart. 3 for Jalen, 3 for Horford, 5 for Tatum. Really spread the ball around. That's how you're supposed to do this. Really work the ball around. They had good shots. There's one Peyton Pritchard 3 early on that really stood out, because the Celtics passed up a couple of shots. And I think it was a Jalen Brown assist. He drew a ton of attention, got it out to Pritchard. Pritchard had like a lot of time to find the laces. He was just like, you know, okay, I'm just gonna whoop. Nails it. Beautiful. Work the ball around, work your offense, pass, ball movement, player movement. A couple of nice cuts in this game that ended up with buckets. So play the game the right way. Things are gonna go well. This Celtics team is too damn good when they are playing the right way. And when they are not playing the right way, the lesson is simple. You're terrible when you don't play the right way. You have the potential to be very bad. And that third quarter in game one was not playing the right way, and that's how bad they can look. There's really a wide swath between the Celtics playing poorly and the Celtics playing great. Celtics playing together, playing the right way, that's a championship-level team. What we saw in the first half of this game, playing the right way, that team can win a championship. When they play the wrong way, get smoked. And if they do it again in this series, they'll get smoked again in this series. So come out in game three, protect your home court, play the right way, protect the ball, keep doing what you're doing, satisfy the home crowd, come back to Miami up 3-1. Come back to Miami up 3-1. It's a very simple task. I say simple. It's not simple. Miami's a very good team. It's very, very possible that Miami could win. But protect home court, and you get a 3-1 lead. And 3-1 leads are hard to overcome. I will be back after game three. So Friday is a travel day. Celtics are off. I am off. I am taking Friday to travel back to Boston. I will do some writing for Boston Sports Journal, so you can read me there. But the next podcast, since this is the Friday podcast, next podcast will come after Saturday night's game three. I will be in the TD Garden. So hopefully I have a cool backdrop there. Well, Bruins season is over, so there'd be no reason for me not to. So podcasting from the Garden. And hopefully after a win. So subscribe if you haven't subscribed. And if you are a subscriber, you know, whether it's the podcast, whether it's YouTube channel, which we're getting close to 6,200, the goal is 6,500, 500 per series. So trying to get to 6,500 by the time the Celtics wrap up this Miami Heat series. And hopefully we can bump that up, because I'm fully confident that the Celtics are getting to the NBA Finals. So subscribe. If you are a subscriber, share the podcast, tell your friends, tell everybody that they should be listening to and watching the Locked On Celtics podcast right here on the Locked On Podcast Network.